was, at least for a while, very common in South America, especially in Argentina, that it was like going to workplaces or to government or to somebody's houses and say, this motherfucker was in the dictatorship and they torture people. Like, and this, like, and I think that's an important thing. It's an important, like, this person who you're pretending, like, the people who did that terrible thing, they're still there. They're still, like, in powerful positions. And that's something, like, if your company or if your government is fine with it, at least assume that, you know? And we, like, deserve to know that these people are there. And I think it's different than, like, how the state act about it, because when we're doing that, we're just, like, we're bringing history to light to what's happening and not ignoring, like, and making people also, like, take responsibility to the things they did. It's not, like, the state system do this in a punitive kind of way, you know, and controlling kind of way. And I do not think it's the same. And I do think there is a difference between, like, this is, like, the big power against, like, the small person, you know? And yeah, like, blaming all one thing, I think that's called it dangerous, like, and that's what most liberals do, actually. It's, like, instead of blaming a system and saying, like, this is terrible, just point the person. I think it's different. I think when you get, as an example, this that I'll call doxing that they did in South America, you are actually, like, pointing, like, all these people who are involved in this thing, and you need to know, and people need, you know, it's different than, like, here, like, liberal society like to do, oh no, there's actually not a problem, this person is evil, this person is the dangerous one. No, it's part of a system that this person is part of, and that's not how it's treated in the liberal way, but that's, I think that's how anarchists and anti-fascists usually treat that. So yeah, it's not like this person is dangerous, because sometimes this person, like, especially in the dictatorship, is like a decrepit old man, you know? So, but it's like, yeah, everyone needs to know what you did, because it was like, it's not okay. And yeah. You don't pretend you are.
Well, yeah. And I guess in my mind, it does have a dual purpose, and people can call this statist or whatever, but in my mind, it's dictatorships come back. And people need to know that if you do these things during a dictatorship, you will not leave them behind afterwards. Right? Like we want ICE people to know now, ahead of the time that they've done these things, that when this ends, you're not going to go back to your regular civilian life. We're going to change your fucking life after this. You know what I mean?
But I think it's a matter, like, fucking think what you're doing and think, like, would you do it, like, face up, because that's another thing. Like, when anarchists do stuff, I do think, of course, there is, but it's very, like, I usually don't see anarchists, like, doing things in a shady way. It's, like, you might not say the word, like, I'm an anarchist, or I'm, because you're not stupid, especially depending on the context, like, why you want to, but you're very true to your positions. You're not going to pretend you're not going to pretend like these people do, like, oh, I'm an exemplary citizen, whatever. And well, actually, you have this very recent past in your life that you were fucking torturing people. How is that okay? Like, and if you're not like this, so why are you hiding? Come and discuss that and let's open a, so do you like just doing this terrible thing and not and pretending that never happened.
Yeah. I also, there's, to me, like, any of the discussion of, like, what do states do falls, like, into a very shallow, like, childish understanding of things, because there's, like, what do states do versus, like, what are the inherent essences unique to a state, right? Because like Nazis, for example, Nazis eat food and grow food and hand out pamphlets and table events, right? And do community organizing, right? And support each other, right? And states build houses, right? And states pave roads or maintain, right? So it's not about looking at, does the state do this thing? The question is this part of the integral state form, right? Just because a state does things doesn't mean that that is integral to the state
form. I think it's important how the state do it. Yeah.
But you understand what I'm saying? Where someone looks and they go, the state uses the term dangerous persons. Therefore, that is a thing that the state does. And it's like, yes, the state also, like, you know, might, like, run electricity to your house. You know, like, the state does all kinds of things.
Yeah, we can get to this discussion, but it's like, it does with your money. So there's nothing to be grateful about.
I'm not talking about grateful. I'm talking about the things that, I'm saying when you see the state doing something, I'm not saying
value neutral.
I'm saying when you see the state doing something, saying that's something the state does, therefore we don't do that. The state,
I see what you're
right. The state does, the state occupies a position in society where it intentionally does lots of reasonable things in order to justify itself, right?
Yeah.
And then there are the things that are inherent to it, and they are the bad things that it does, right? And so, yeah, when we look and we're like, oh, the state... And so I'm not saying that calling people dangerous persons is one thing or the other. I'm just saying this knee-jerk reaction that anarchists have to the state does that, and therefore we don't do that, right? Like, oh, Nazis do that, therefore we don't do that, right? Like, I used to be an animal rights activist, and we would protest in front of vivisectors' houses, and people would say, oh, you know, anti-abortionists do that, and the Klan does that. And we're like, yeah, they also, like, petition and hold protests, and they vote, right? They do all the... It's a toolbox. It's just a toolbox.
Yeah, sometimes it's just a toolbox. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and so I guess that's... That's where I'm at. I want to run back, I guess, to the beginning of some of the... Well, finish what you were saying, and then I want to run back.
No, I think I did. Didn't okay. I? Go on.
I actually had this, almost awkwardly, this conversation around doxing with a coworker the other day where he... I forget what we had been talking about. We had been talking about something in the news. And he asked me, he was like, so do you think, like, doxing is, like, good or bad? Or, like, what do you think it's right? And I was like, I don't know. I like it when it happens to the people I don't like, and I don't like it when it happens to the people I do like. Yeah, he was like, wow, that's, like a, that was, like, hypocritical? I was like, no. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't feel the need to... have a consistent standard for this sort of thing where I'm like, again, it's a tool, you know, like your average person. I mean, you and we have a position on prisons or whatever, but your average person doesn't feel bad about being like, oh, I like it when the person that robbed my house goes to prison versus like, I don't like it when like my friend who didn't do anything wrong goes to prison. Right. I'm not saying for us, but I'm using prisons as
person,
like
a regular
a fucking person. Rando. Yes, yeah. Yes, yes. Right. And because the thing is people do things and then action against them is is contextual, I guess. Right. To me, this person makes the context being the character of the person doing it, justifying it. And that's not. That's a weird way to frame that, because it doesn't matter whether it's anarchists doxing people or other people doxing people. The question is who's being doxed, right? Not who is the person doing it.
And I think the important thing that the contextual part for me, at least, that is important. It's like understanding that there is a, it's the size thing. It's like the David and Goliath thing, you know, to use a religious. It's very different when, like, there is a big thing, like, attacking this small person or group that can't even, like, don't have, even barely has how to respond. Like, you have, like, a person that is supported by money or power or fucking whatever. And it's different when it's the other way. It's very different. Because, one, you're just, like, you're just crushing. You're a fucking coward. And you might be, like, you might even be an active, because I think it happens inside the movement, and I think that's very problematic. And that's when I think they are kind of reproducing the state. When you inside a movement, like, you know, you become like this powerful force that all turns against, like, one. It's you don't make yes. it an equal fight. There you make like this. I forgot the word, but disproportionate.
Yeah.
You know, that's for me is the problem.
And this was something I did. I ran into as early as 2008 and 9, when a lot of, like, call out accountability process, weird street vengeance within anarchist milieus started emerging, which is anarchists have a unique problem that other insurgent groups do not, which is, maybe not inherent, but at least the way that American anarchists organize, which is we lack our boundaries of who is in and not in our milieu as fuzzy. And so it is difficult to impose a double standard for in-group, out-group, right? So you don't dox, right? So if let's say you had an organization, right? You don't dox people inside the organization, but you can see visibly who your enemies are and you can dox those people, right? Whereas if you're like, oh, like there's like a misogynist in our midst, like, is that the enemy or is that like a person in your group who like needs to learn a lot of fucking shit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And like do some serious personal reflection. And maybe be kicked out. Kicked out. But my point is without the challenge of the anarchist is without a formal way to impose a double standard, like, then the question is, like, how are you allowed to engage with your enemies? Because, like, stuff like, stuff like doxing, where I'm like, yeah, doxing Nazis is great. Doxing cops is great. Like, that's all good. It's a deterrent, right? It's a thing you use.
Yeah.
Violence, I don't know why the person phrased it like this, where I'll quote it again just so people know exactly what we're talking about. That is doxing an act like violence that is contextual, i.e. does the anarchist nature of those doing it justify the act? And just to reiterate again, to me, the person doing it is not the thing that justifies it. The person it's being done to is the thing that justifies it. Right? And I guess we don't need to spend much time on violence, but like, I think like violence is an interesting phrase, just because to me, violence is like an entirely meaningless word that basically doesn't exist. And it's just a stand in for things I don't like.
Yeah.
99.9% of the time, right?
Yeah. Like,
nobody can define violence when you ask them, right? It's literally just most people, if you say that something is violent and they like it, they'll try to explain to you why it's not violent. They'll say self-defense isn't violence, right? They'll say property destruction isn't violence, right? And yet, like, that gives lie to the fact that, like, okay, so, you know,
if somebody goes and, I don't know, get their phone and destroy it in front of them. Oh, this person was so violent.
Yeah, no, yeah. You can be like, oh, breaking windows isn't violence. And I'm like, really? If I go to my ex-girlfriend's house and break her windows, like, that's not violent? Like, really? That's just property? Or like, no, obviously it's fucking terrifying, right? Mm-hmm. They would never say that that's not violent. And at the same time, it's like, yeah, like if you, you know, fucking, I don't know, fur farmers will say that if you, you know, demolish every structure on the farm,
yeah,
that's violence. And yet, if a building is up for demolition, yeah, right, and you demolish a building that's slated for demolition, no one's like, hey, that's violence. But it's literally the same physics.
Yeah, no, yeah. The thing with violence, like, we could go on and on. Like, even like the act of birth is violent. Like, coming into this fucking world, it's a violent act.
Yeah, to the mom.
and to the baby
yeah, abusing to, your poor mother, immoral creature. No.
And to the baby too, you know. I'm just saying, like, that there is a thing of
we could discuss born without my consent.
I think there's a part of violence that is just a part of violence, yeah. not justifying all, but there's a part of violence that is just part of life. This is not the topic.
But yeah, I guess zooming out a little bit, though, those that know me know that I'm probably on the extremely organizationalist end of things, and also I don't put a lot of value in things I view as like the moral high ground, or like only using tactics that match our prefigurative politics. And so, like, to me, like, these things where it's like, is getting someone fired from their job like too like statey, or like, oh, is like, you know, like
I mean, it's if to use that example, if you're fucking up the life, just the life of that, like, poor fucking guy whose life is already miserable and can barely hold the job and keep themselves out of the street or something, but it's still like an asshole. And if your focus is just that person, it's kind of something you want to think better how you want to do it, you know, but it's different when you are attacking like the whole thing, and especially, again, like the person who is in a higher position, you know.
We're talking about anti-fascist organizers. So I'm talking like specifically, right, like groups we have, right? So like Patriot Front or the Proud Boys or something like this, right? We're not talking about wealthy people here. We are talking about middle and lower middle class individuals.
Yeah, but they're an organization. But then you are attacking the organization, you know? I'm just saying, like, if you focus on the one, I don't know. I don't think anarchists, even if, yeah, I think we're always like focused, like, even if it's one person, it's like this person because it's part of this organization.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
I'm
sidetracking
here. Yeah. I'm not talking about harassing the line cook at your job who used a racial slur one time or whatever. I mean, don't be friends with that guy, maybe, or maybe have some serious fucking talks with him over work. But like, yeah, I'm not saying like dox him to his neighbors, you know. Disrupting organizations here. And so, yeah, I guess I think, I don't really believe in like clean hands politics. I think, if being unemployed and unemployable is the thing that will deter people from organizing with fascist organizations in your area, I think you definitely want a two-pronged strategy where you need to figure out why people are being easily pulled into this group in your area, right? And try to address that, right? If there's things that they're missing, figure out if the anarchists can provide those things. But you also, you need a carrot and a stick, you know what I mean? Like,
I don't know.
It's fine. And yeah, you want to be like, hey, if you're not a Nazi in our neighborhood, like, we have a grocery distribution program, you know, we have fucking childcare, you know, collective or whatever. If you're a Nazi in our neighborhood, like, we've got bricks. you know what I mean? Like, I'm infinitely unworried.
I don't think you need to be kind to this kind of people.
And again, you know, if after a month of bricks, you want to take a month off of your Nazi bullshit and then, you know, write a big apology letter to everyone and start the probably very long process of like reintegrating yourself into your neighborhood, like, you know, let's talk.
Yeah.
There might be people that if you've actually harmed them are not going to be down with that. But if you haven't harmed anyone yet, you know, we caught you posting online or whatever.
There is like people can actually like rethink what they're doing, and they actually can do it. Not that most people do that, but yeah, some people can do reflect on what was going on and change their mind and realize that some things were just like, yeah, bullshit or there is one thing though, and I don't think it's the same. This person was talking about doxing, infiltration, and info sharing. I think info sharing and doxing, like, I would put more on the same thing that we've been talking so far. The infiltration thing, I mean, I'm not against if you want to go to infiltrate some organization, go for it. You have to have like stomach for it and all that. So I wouldn't stop, and I wouldn't say it's necessarily a state thing. I don't know. But on the other hand, I do think that sometimes activists can get caught like in a conspiracy mind, and we have like if an example from the past is like the Nechayev. What was the guide? Was it the nihilist? The ABC? I forgot. I blanked. But the one that he did it's said that he did with Bakunin, you know?
Okay.
So there was this conspiratory thing, and that, yeah, then you create like, you create something inside the movement, and then you just don't trust anyone, you know, you create some kind of...
Do you know what they mean by infiltrating here? Or am I missing something where they talk about this in the article?
No, I mentioned infiltrating, like, if you want to go, I think I'm not against it. I'm just saying, like, there is also another way that could be, like, a more conspirative mind. Like, when you get so much into these things that it can get, like, it can fuck you up. That's all what I was...
I'm struggling to understand. I'm not disagreeing. I just don't understand what the connection between those two things are.
Maybe just exists in my brain.
Okay.
No. I do think this kind, because it sounds like you're talking because about having... no, because infiltration, it demands like a secrecy. It demands such a sort of mindset that I think it can like, it can take you to something a little less like if you can get wrapped around it, and then everything becomes like conspiratory, and you know.
Oh, I mean, definitely if you are physically infiltrating fascist organizations, that is the thing you're doing. You're not doing other things.
Yes.
100%. I mean, that's especially in like today's media age. Like, if you're infiltrating fascist organizations, you're not also going to public protests.
Obviously.
You're not volunteering at the bookstore or whatever. Like,
yeah.
That is a decision that,
yeah, that you make. Yeah. I didn't even know. Like, I guess I can see like individuals wanting to do something like that, even though like this would just make sense in my mind, like as a group doing, because you also need like to have a channel to bring all the information you're getting, you know, and people that trust you and know that you're trustworthy. Because if you come out of a group and say, hey, I've been doing this infiltrated work my whole life, now I bring this information, and say,
no one's...
Who? I know. I'm
sorry. I guess I follow this stuff sometimes, maybe online. And so like those aren't the situations I am imagining. Okay.
So tell me more about it.
Well, I mean, like, you might infiltrate something for like a year or like 2 years. But I mean, like, you come from an anarchist milieu. You know people in that milieu physically, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, it doesn't generally last super long. It's usually like a year or, you know, where it's like...
Yeah, I was just thinking, like, I was really thinking that the CIA thing, because it can last like a few years.
Yeah, well, and to me, like, that's part of the difference here is like where they're talking about like, oh, like, what if you're in a group and they want you to like bomb a black church? It's like, well, that... Don't do that. You know, like,
yeah.
Like what's,
you can always just leave.
Yeah, like you, I mean, even within that group, you can be like, whoa, that freaks me out. Or you can make an excuse, like get super sick, right? Or something like that, to me, that's the thing is, it's like, but if you physically infiltrate this group, what if down the road, and then they talk about like you have to do something, you know, it's like, no, it's like, well, what if you drive a car and like a child was walking across the road? It's like, well, break. Like, yeah. What are we talking about? You know?
Yeah. I mean, probably this person went to like an imaginary hole the same way I did, you know?
Because, yeah, people in the FBI and CIA are happy to engage in, you know, right-wing violence in right-wing groups because they don't actually care about this shit, right? Their goal is to make arrests in this group eventually, but they are not actually like moral or ethical actors where they,
yeah,
like, they're just as against civil rights as they are against the Klan, at, you know.
Some of them.
in a best case scenario, you know? And so, yeah, I mean, to me, it's not necessarily a risk that, like, that one runs. You simply don't do a thing, you know. The like, slippery slope of, like, you've infiltrated this group and now it's escalating. It's like, yeah, no, I mean, at the point that they're asking you to, you know, bomb something with people who you would normally consider your allies in it, that's probably actually the moment that you say,
yeah, I'll meet you there, and then you go to the other.
Yeah, that you pull the string, you know, you pull the cord or whatever. That's probably it, you know. Or yeah, if you didn't infiltrate it to prevent this particular thing, what did you infiltrate it for? You know, like, mm-hmm, at that point.
Yeah, and if you otherwise, like, if you infiltrated just to get some other information, like, yeah, you need to be able to draw a line, like,
yeah, and generally, like, when
take responsibility to your actions
and generally, too. Yeah, like when they have case studies of this, right, that come out where it's like so and so infiltrated this group, usually the moment that they decide it's time to go public with it is when there's some kind of a plan that they where someone is going to get hurt, basically, and that's usually when you see. 95% of the time, that's when you see the fucking FBI even like pull the cord on this shit, you know, where like they'll be infiltrated, like the base or any of these groups where it's like, yeah, or like, when that group wanted to like kill those two Antifa folks down in Atlanta, it's like, the FBI was all in that fucking group, and that was, you know, yeah, these Nazis were gonna kill a pair of anti-fascists, and the FBI dude was still like, all right, well, that's the operation, I guess. Like, I mean, like, we're done here. Yeah, like, you're all going to prison.
If the FBI can do that, why can't you? Yeah. I mean, usually they don't remember that. So, I don't have much more to add here, but I do think that sometimes that's okay. So that said, like, I think in general, like, I'm not as worried as this person wrote, but I do think that in other instances, like, the anti-fascist and anarchists, they do reproduce, like, the state mentality. I tend to think that it has to do with the punitive mindset that it's reproduced a lot sometimes in, or the liberal thing, just that is also punitive in a way, but anyway, but, yep. So that is my conclusion.
I want to separate like anarchist and anti-fascist like internal culture versus anarchist and anti-fascist like organizing, you know, where like it's like, do the tactics that you use against your enemies reproduce the state? Or like, I'm way more concerned with like quote unquote reproducing the state like within our own milieus, right? Are we moral policing each other, or are we like using weapons against our enemies? Because like, again, like I'm a strong believer in just like a toolbox, basically, where I'm like, I short of like really weird stuff like gendered violence or something, like I actually don't think, you know, that like there are tools that are like off the table, you know, I mean, like there's like unnecessarily cruel things, right? Which gendered violence would fall under, where you're like, why? You can do regular violence, man. Like, you know, you know, like, there's no reason. But beyond that, like, yeah, I don't, you know, and yeah, and again, I think the stakes, right, like, make a big difference, right? Where it's like, okay, yeah, like, in a low stakes situation, you should not hurt people, you know?
Yeah.
If you think that there is a fascist takeover of your country and that you know where that's headed, you know, and that you understand what that means, then you should act appropriately, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm not interested in people's moralizing at that point, you know, of how, yeah. Oh, well, how would you want to be treated? I'm like, yeah, I'm not doing what that person's doing. So, you know, when you catch me doing what that person's doing, fucking treat me however you like, you know?
Yeah.
And to me, that's the thing, is this whole, like, yeah, the whole universalizing of, like, some things are good to do to people and some things are bad to do to people is, like, just conceptually worthless, basically.
No, I already concluded. I told you.
That's fair. In the comments, there was one thing that got under my skin. I mean, there were lots of things that made me roll my eyes, but there's one that got under my skin. Someone talks about squats, and they're complaining that there are, quote, closed squats, and they call them, like, bourgeois or something like that, you know?
They were probably kicked out from a squat at some point.
Well, A, yes. And B, they're all social centers, i.e. closed. And it's like, if you are a halfway decent person that lived during the era of, like, the American open squats in the, like, early 2000s, or, like, the open squats discourse, like, no, people get to have a fucking home, you know? If you want to live in an open squat...
Yeah, but what's your purpose with the squat? You know, there are some squats, like, are cultural centers and things that it's... Like, they're meant to be open to. And some things are, like, we're just, like, there is so many places to live. You don't need to own a property to have a place to live. So, yeah, we're taking this as our place to live. What is the matter with
that? Yeah, why can't you... Why can't you go break into a different abandoned building, right? Like, that's the thing, is like, why have you chosen the one that these people are already living in, and now you feel entitled to go in there? And it's like, I know it's, like, not a kind of, like, maybe I don't want to live in, like, the middle of, like, a dog fight with fucking animal feces all over the floor and, like, junkies losing needles in the fucking couch. Like, maybe I want, like, a place that I would, like, you know, want to have people over to. And to me, like, when I think of open squat, like, yeah, I think of a place where...
No, I think it can be nice. It can work, but it's just, like, that's the comment, like, you can have closed squat. It's just, like, it sounds too petty. I don't know. And lazy, and, like, go fucking do your thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no one's stopping don't you tell from me, squatting yeah, don't a tell different
me
building.
What, yeah, don't tell me how to do what I'm doing, what I'm working and, like, working hard to do. Yeah. Go do your thing.
Yeah.
You want to know the squat? Go for it. Like, I'm supporting you. Do you need, like, me to help spread the news that you're doing an open squat? I can't even help with that.
Yeah, needle squat is down the street, man. You can.
No, it doesn't. I don't think they are necessary. You know, I don't think that open squats can necessarily just be that. They can also be that, but...
On a long enough timeline.
Anyway. Okay, do you have a wrap there, or do you want to still keep talking?
I think that's it. I think there was an interesting discourse in here that I don't want to actually get into, but that would be a neat, really spicy question for the future of... The Rojava and EZLN territories, where the question of what do you do with, like, open reactionary revolt in, like, anarchist or, like, autonomous liberated territories.
Okay, so yeah, are we finishing with this question?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's a wrap.
Sounds great. Bye.
Donny fucking don't. Out.
This week's podcast was sound edited by Echo. The What's New was written by Chisel, read by Chisel, and...
Harry Noodle.
We hope this podcast is useful to and fun for anarchists and the anarchist creators.
We'll be right back. Thank you. shadow knows.
Once again, your neighborhood blue coal dealer brings you the thrilling adventures of the Shadow, the hard and relentless fight of one man against the forces of evil. These dramatizations are designed to demonstrate forcefully to old and young alike that crime does not pay. All types of fuel for home heating apparently are going to be scarce this winter. So if you heat with coal, you're fortunate. You're able to store fuel. But get your order in early. Call your blue coal dealer tomorrow and ask him to schedule your delivery as soon as he can. And make sure that you order the right size of coal for your furnace. If you're not sure what it should be, ask your blue coal dealer. He'll be glad to inspect your heating plant, and he may be able to make other recommendations, too, that will help you to get more heat and to burn less fuel. So first thing tomorrow, call the nearest blue coal dealer and ask him about scheduling an early delivery of your blue coal. The Shadow, who aids the forces of law and order, is in reality Lamont Cranston, wealthy young man about town. Years ago in the Orient, Cranston learned a strange and mysterious secret, the hypnotic power to cloud men's minds so they cannot see him.